A sign in a shop window caught Cassidy's attention. Pegasus. Off-world artifacts bought and sold. We deal in only the finest. Her pulse quickened. She pushed the glass door open and closed it behind her, wincing as cowbells hanging from the door rang loudly, disturbing the hushed space. Three men looked up from where they were gathered around a glass counter, examining a piece of jewelry. A shopkeeper stood behind the counter. Large red Persian rugs covered the floor, and a crystal chandelier hung from a high gilded ceiling. Glass cases tastefully displayed a collection of gold jewelry, ornate boxes, and daggers. A clothing rack held an assortment of garments of leather, velvet, white frills, and fur. The men watched her cross the carpeted floor. On the counter sat a gold cuff bracelet with a large bright green gem set in the center. The three customers were tall and tanned, with dark hair and light eyes. They were young and healthy, and Cassidy's eyes wandered over their muscular physiques. The man behind the counter was small and mouse-like, with thinning hair and wire-framed glasses. He glanced up at the men nervously and wrung his hands together. "May I help you?" he asked in a high-pitched voice. The three young men returned her physical appraisal, and she brushed her hair away from her face. She cleared her throat. "I can come back later." "No, no," one of the men said, backing away from the counter. "We'll likely be here all day." He waved her forward, and the three men crossed the large room to another row of display cases. The shopkeeper set the bracelet aside and greeted her with a quivering smile. "What can I do for you?"
"I have something to sell or to get appraised."
The man nodded and smoothed the black velvet cloth that lay on the glass countertop. Cassidy took the gold medallion from her pack and set it on the velvet. The man leaned forward, his eyes blinking quickly. He lifted it and turned it over, then inspected it with an eyepiece. He lifted his small eyes to hers.
"Where did you get this?"
His voice was nearly a whisper. Cassidy shrugged.
"My aunt got it on Delos, I think." "It's Ilion, I believe," he said softly.
"Yes," Cassidy said, drawing in a short breath.
"That's what I understand. How much do you think it's worth?"
The man's brow rose and fell, and he kept his gaze fastened on the pendant. After several long moments, he replied,
"Well, it depends on if I can find the right buyer for such a rare artifact."
He cast a glance towards the three men. The merchant bent behind the counter and pulled out an old leather-bound book, turning the fragile pages delicately. He landed on a page.
"Ah," he said, studying illustrations of three coins and comparing them to her pendant.
The writing was in hieroglyphics she did not understand. He turned the book so she could see. The top drawing was a perfect likeness to her coin, both the obverse side with the woman pouring water from an urn and the reverse side with the triangle and three eyes. Excitement rushed through her. The illustration of the second coin was of a man kneeling on one knee and drawing a bow with a quiver of arrows at his hip. The reverse side had the same triangle containing three eyes. The third coin on the page depicted a man holding a glowing orb in his upturned palm and a short rod in the other hand. The reverse was the same triangle. The merchant's skin was flushed, and his fingers shook as he turned the coin over and over.
"How much do you think it's worth?" she asked again, her heart racing.
"I don't know. Priceless," he muttered, and met her eyes.
"But what would it bring in this day and age?"
He glanced at the three men again, then dropped his eyes.
"Perhaps I would add it to my personal collection," he said wistfully and closed the book. He laid the medallion gently on the velvet. She pulled the crystals from her backpack and laid them on the cloth, desperate for him to offer her a solidity, too solidity. He had confirmed the pendant was a priceless artifact. Now it was a matter of finding a buyer. Maybe the men behind her were rich. Perhaps between the pendant and the crystals, she could get the gold she needed. The men had grown silent, and she felt them wanting to come closer. She glanced at the merchant's face, but he had turned his attention to the crystals. He was clearly a successful dealer. He would know the proper timing to call the buyers over. Let them sweat a bit. He handled the crystals one at a time, but did not ask if they were magic. He kept his lips sealed and examined them with his eyepiece. Cassidy looked into the glass case and noticed several crystal shafts of various sizes. A couple were similar to hers. One was bigger, but most were smaller, the size of fingers, and polished so that they gleamed. He cupped the crystal ball in his palm, staring into it, and then set it gently on the velvet. "Do you have anything else?" he asked, his expression unreadable. She should have brought Taurus crystals. They were different from anything in his case. She pulled out her moon deed and map and unrolled them in front of him. "I don't know if you deal in property." She had a burning curiosity to understand the worth of her land, though she wouldn't need to sell it if she could get enough money from the pendant and crystals for passage for both her and Tor. The merchant leaned over to inspect the documents. "A moon parcel," he said softly, "with the salmon seal of Metolius." She could feel the men watching them, setting the hairs on her arms on end. "How much do you think it's worth?" she asked. Footsteps crossed the floor, treading softly on the carpets. The merchant rolled up the parchments and placed them firmly in her hand with a pointed look as a hand fell beside her on the glass. She flinched as one of the men leaned over her shoulder and peered at the gold medallion and crystals. He smelled of cologne. The eyes of the man behind him followed her hands as she tucked the moon deed into her pack. There had been something odd about the men from the start, and it suddenly came to her. Their skin did not have the grayish pallor everyone's had from living 3 years under the gloom of the shaman's shield. Theirs was ruddy and healthy. They had been outside the shaman's shield. "Looks like a fake," the merchant said of the deed for the men to hear. "And this is probably a replica as well," he said as he handed her the medallion. She reluctantly slipped it into her pants pocket and took the crystals as he pushed them towards her, heeding his veiled warning. "As for these," he continued, "I have more than enough crystals, as you can see, and of higher quality." The tall man at her side scowled as she put the crystals into her bag. She wanted to stay and barter with the merchant and get her two solidity, but something about the three men made her skin crawl. "Good day, young lady," the merchant said curtly, turning away. He retrieved the gold bracelet with the green gem and said to the men, "Now, this here is genuine Delosian ceremonial gold, a bracelet the priestesses wore to summon the star people." Cassidy crept from the shop, vowing to return after the three men left. Maybe the merchant really did want to buy the medallion, but did not want to let the men in on the deal. She stepped onto the sidewalk, glancing back over her shoulder into the shop. Two of the men were striding across the carpets after her. She wondered for a moment if they wanted to buy her goods, but the hair on the nape of her neck rose in warning. She sprang into a run, stealing a glance over her shoulder as the men stepped out onto the sidewalk and started in her direction. She flew around the corner and ducked into a side street. Jacobson's was in front of her. She hopped inside, and closed the door quickly behind her. She scurried to the back of the shop and hid behind an ornate carved wooden panel flanked by two potted trees. Tall urns and a shoulder-high marble statue of a griffin stood at her side. A man was behind the counter packing things into a cardboard box. He looked up at her with surprise.
"Two men are following me," she told him breathlessly. Her pulse pounded in her ears.
The man inspected her for a moment, then strode to the front of the shop. She heard him bolt the door, and a scraping of plastic told her he had turned the sign over to indicate that the shop was closed. The overhead lights extinguished, plunging the shop into muted shadows. The man's footsteps approached, and he stepped behind the screen to join her.
"Smitty said I should see you," she whispered awkwardly.
She breathed to calm her heartbeat, wondering if she had overreacted. Probably the men just wanted some fresh air.
"Smitty?"
"An antique dealer in San Jose," she said.
"Oh, that old geezer, yes." Cassidy's eyes were adjusting to the low light, and she could see the man examining her curiously.
"Jacobson," he said, introducing himself with a firm handshake. "Who's chasing you?"
"A couple customers from a shop around the corner, Pegasus. I showed the shopkeeper some off-world artifacts I'm selling, but I don't think he trusted the men, so he sent me away, and two of them followed me. There were three of them."
"What did they look like?"
"Tall, dark-haired, tan."
Jacobson nodded.
"They were in here yesterday. They've been combing all the shops for off-world trinkets and magical tools and asking all sorts of questions. I don't trust them either."
"Why not?" she asked, her skin tingling.
"They're not your normal antiquity buyers. They look more like soldiers."
Alarm gripped Cassidy's throat.
"Tags."
Jacobson held her eyes levelly and sweat broke out on her brow.
"General Tegia probably wants to glean all the knowledge he can from us before he throws us into camps and steals all our stuff," he said, giving her a wan smile.
A wave of dizziness passed over her. A chair sat by the back counter and she sank into it. She noticed several stacks of sealed cardboard boxes. It looked as though he was packing up his wares.
"Are you leaving?" she asked.
"No," he shrugged. "Yes, maybe. I don't know what I'm doing, actually, where I'm going to go. This shop is my life. I've been boxing up my favorite pieces, but where can we hide from the tags?"
She nodded glumly. When the tags came, it would be the end of everything.
"What have you got?" he asked.
"An Ilian medallion the shopkeeper found in a book."
She took it from her pocket and handed it to him. He whistled.
"Wow, an Ilian amulet. I didn't know there were any of these on Earth. Where'd you get it?"
He inspected it curiously.
"I inherited it. I also have some crystals and a deed to land on the moon. That's what got the soldiers really interested."
The owner raised his eyebrows and handed her the medallion. She pulled the gold chain over her head, resting the warm gold coin against her skin. She took the crystals and parchments from her bag and showed them to him. He quickly looked over the crystals, then gave them back to her, but held on to the deed, reading it carefully.
"Seems genuine," he said. "It's got Metolius's salmon seal. I've only seen that in pictures. It's his personal seal."
He rubbed his chin.
"And his fingerprints. That's something."
She met his gaze, feeling a bit queasy. His expression deepened, and she could almost hear the question burning in his mind.
"Who are you?"
He carefully rolled the parchments and gave them back to her.
"I don't know much about land."
"Do you think I could get 2 solidi for the medallion?"
"I do, under the right circumstances, in another place and time.